Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Spellman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. And as always, thank you for joining me and being part of this community, because it really is about empowering women. And as I always like to say, that this is an opportunity to truly empower you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions regarding your health and your life and your overall well-being. There's so many paths we can take in life. There's so many options available to us on our journey for health and healing. So no one has the same path, and that's why it's so important to be open, to be expansive, to be curious, to just explore all the possibilities that are available and then find the path that's best for you. And if you are listening for the first time and would like to get the archive shows, I want to remind everyone as well that you can find them either by going to my Facebook page, What Women Must Know. You can opt into my website, which is drcherylspellman.com. That's drcherylspellman.com. Or you can go to Podbean, you can go to Spotify, and probably other websites and portals as well, but we'll stop there for now. That's probably enough. And I hope you will be joining me every week, because these are truly life-changing and life-transforming conversations. And I know that's true for me. I always learn so much from my guests, and just so blessed to be able to share this with all of you out there in the world. And today we have another, I think, important conversation. It was important for me at the stage of life that we're talking about today, which is navigating the midlife maze for hormonal health and vitality. And my guest today is Lara Frangian, and we're going to be having a really profound conversation that so many women need to hear and understand and be helped with and guided through this maze, this midlife maze. So first of all, a little bit about Lara. So Lara is the founder of Nutrition Her Way. She is a former corporate controller turned nutritionist. After going through her own health challenges, she transitioned from being a corporate CPA and went back to school to becoming a registered holistic nutritionist. She believes that we can transform our health if we are intentional about our nutrition and lifestyle. And this is where we're beginning our important conversation. So first of all, Lara, so happy to have you on the show. Welcome to What Women Must Know.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
You know, this is such an important topic, because, you know, we're talking about this midlife time. And I have to say, my journey that led to reclaiming my health, and then that led to the discovery of what had so compromised my physical, emotional, mental well-being in my 40s, led to a whole new direction of my life. And I went on and became a best-selling author and changed my career. And, you know, it's a pivotal time, I think, our 40s. There's a lot going on at that crucial junction of life. So, let's talk about your journey, because, you know, I always have great respect for people who are corporate CPAs, because that's like the last thing in the world I think I could ever become. So share a little bit about, you know, the journey that you have been on in your life, and particularly, you know, we have those pivotal moments, those pivotal events that actually are ultimately the catalyst that moves us into our true soul's purpose in life. So I'm always fascinated to hear everyone's journeys and that moment of discovery of who they really are and what they're really here to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the way that you put it. It's true. Life directs you, and, you know, if you say yes, the right door is open. So, I mean, my journey started, I was really interested in nutrition since I would say high school, university, pre-university years. But I chose the accounting path because it was a tried and true path. And, I mean, you know, I went to university 30 years ago, so it was it 30? Yeah, about 20-some-odd years ago. And it was a time of, like, you know, I wanted to be successful, and we didn't quite know what to do with nutrition back then. So it was a different time. So I chose the accounting path, and it was fine. It was great. It did what it needed to do for me. But I reached a point where I really felt drawn to nutrition. It was just something that I started to research on my own. As I, you know, became pregnant, I was more conscious of the food that I was eating. So I went through my own, you know, small challenges, I guess, through my 20s and 30s, but nothing like I experienced as I approached and hit my 40s. And that's really, so prior to my 40s, I was actually, I studied nutrition. I was working part-time as a controller, but starting this nutrition thing. And I noticed that my health was deteriorating. I was doing all the right things, but my health was just declining. I was feeling tired all the time. I was extremely bloated. I was experiencing skin issues, eczema that I'd never experienced before. My body just felt wrong. I was putting on weight. And I just couldn't make sense of anything, you know. I couldn't pinpoint it to my hormones because my cycles were still very regular. So I went to see my doctor, and she ran some blood work. She checked my thyroid, et cetera. And everything came back normal. And she said it was probably perimenopause. And this was the first time that I'd ever heard the word perimenopause. And to be associated with menopause, you know, in my late 30s, early 40s was very confusing to me because I thought, oh, menopause is at 55. So the journey started and the research started. And, you know, really she offered me, she's an excellent doctor, but all she had to offer me was the birth control pill. And I knew that was not a solution because I had tried it when I first got married, and I did not do well with it. I had to get off of it very quickly because it made me feel crazy. So I had to figure things out on my own. So I was a nutritionist. I was helping other people feel better and get healthy and lose weight and do all the things they wanted to do. But whatever I was doing was not working for my body because I ate well, I ate, exercised, I did all the right things, but my body was not responding. So that's really what sparked everything. And I, you know, researched and I found things that I'd never heard of, you know, that minerals govern hormones and that nutrient deficiencies are a thing and that stress is a huge, huge factor in our hormones, especially, you know, in our later years, and, you know, the cortisol progesterone connection. And it just, I pieced it together, and I now help women reverse what they experience in their 40s and 50s and, you know, pre and post menopause. And there's so much that we can do that we don't necessarily, I mean, hormone replacement therapy is fine, but there's a lot we can do before we approach that. You know, by addressing the root imbalances. And once we balance the body, everything functions as it should, and hormones could rebalance, and the person could feel well and healthy and sane again. I mean, I think one of my biggest issues was that I just felt like my mind was not my own anymore. I couldn't control my thoughts. I couldn't control my emotions. I just felt... yeah, like I was falling apart. And once things became balanced, I felt the first thing that I really experienced was I felt so resilient. I just felt like anything could come my way and everything will be okay. And that was the biggest shift, I think, for me, was that I didn't really, if everything stayed the same in my body, it would have been frustrating. But it was my mental health that was really the biggest concern and issue for me, is that I just didn't feel like myself. So that's, yeah, kind of the summary of my story.
So what were your, in addition to, you know, the mental changes that were happening, what were the other symptoms going on around that time? So you were getting bloated?
And my biggest thing was I was extremely, my digestion was terrible. I was bloating. Anything that I ate was bloated. I couldn't pinpoint it. I cut out gluten and I cut out dairy and I'd gone very plant-based, but I became very conscious of grains, et cetera, and nothing was helping. And I was constantly bloated. Like, you know, I would eat something and I would look like I was 6 months pregnant within minutes. And my focus at that time was gut health. So that was a huge shock to me because I thought my gut health was stellar and I knew what to do, but everything that I was doing was not effective for me. And my cycle was shortening. It was, you know, every 26 days, but that was, you know, that had been going on for a number of years. My sleep was very disturbed. I could not get a good night's sleep. And I was developing eczema. Those were the most troubling things for me at the time.
So what did you discover were the underlying issues that you didn't know of at the time, but through your work and through your investigations and learning, discovered were keys for your
right.
turning this around for your
So one of the things I discovered is that I needed to bring back animal fat and I brought back eggs and fish, and so I started to eat a more diverse diet. I really focused on reducing and dealing with the stress in my life. So I discovered that I needed sunlight, and the circadian rhythm was really important, and starting my morning off right was a really, really important part of what my body needed. So I needed a rhythm. I needed to slow down my pace. So these were some of the lifestyle changes that I made. I actually reduced the type of workout. I changed the type of workout that I was doing. So I was doing a lot of high-intensity interval training, and I needed to really scale back from it. So I started to listen to my body. That was one of the biggest changes that I made, is that I stopped pushing myself, and I really started to tap into my intuition and listen to what my body needed. So I needed to slow down. I needed to, so I started to do yoga and more Pilates, stretch style workouts. I started to walk outdoors. I spent a lot of time in the morning and the evening in sunlight. So, you know, red light really is what I was exposing myself to. I stayed off my phone. In the morning and in the evening. So I really started to make those lifestyle changes. So that was very helpful. The other thing that I started to do was things that I enjoyed. I brought joy back into my life. I started to, you know, do activities that I enjoyed. And I didn't feel guilty about it. So I started to read again and, you know, do all the things that you really don't do as a mom, because I was, you know, taking care of my family. I was trying to start a business. I was still a corporate controller. So my life was very full and very busy, and there was very little joy. And some of the other things that I did were instrumental, is that I brought certain nutrients back, and I stopped taking just, you know, generic supplements. So I was doing all the things that a lot of us did, you know, vitamin C for inflammation and zinc and things like that. And then I started to focus on the nutrients that my body was deficient in replenishing them. So I did a hair tissue test and I ran blood work, and we were able to identify the things that I was deficient in, and I started to replenish those as I needed. So retinol was one of them, and copper, and my thyroid was malfunctioning. Clinically, it was fine, but it was not optimal. So all of these things really coupled together. I started to include more protein in my diet. It was a healthy diet. I was always at a very healthy weight, my blood sugar was dysregulated. So I started to really focus on balancing my blood sugar and eating protein-rich meals. Instead of grazing, I was eating 3 solid meals a day, and that turned everything around.
Well, okay. So you just shared so much information and lights going off in my mind, things that are important to talk about out of this journey that you've been on. And let's go back to the very beginning of what you were sharing when you went to your doctor, who's a very nice person, however, really didn't offer you any insight other than everything looked fine, because often, and I see this when I go get checked to the GP, she runs the blood work and she goes, yeah, everything looks really good. Yeah, fine. I go, well, just give me that blood work, please. And then I go get it and look at it, knowing what I know. And I go, no, that's not optimal. That's an issue. But because it was in the reference range, it's good. All right. So first we have to understand that you need to know how to read your blood work, and you must get a copy of it. But if you don't know how to read it, then give it to someone who does, because being in optimal range does not mean you are being within the reference range doesn't mean you're in optimal range for your health. And that's often with vitamin D, we see that. But it's also with thyroid issues and other things. So, and then the other thing, so their doctors do the best they can, and a woman is coming in and hormones are, I don't know, they weren't particularly dysregulated, right? When you went to your, I don't know if she was a GP or a gyno, you were just complaining you didn't feel the best, right? And she just slapped this label, must be perimenopause, which is actually in your late 30s. Perimenopause is a total cop-out. So label a woman perimenopause, say that's the problem, and we'll put you on what? Birth control pills? Birth control pills to solve a health problem? Don't get me going on this, Laura, because I just have to say that is medical abuse of women, right?
I agree.
To put a woman on a birth control pill because your cycles weren't even out of balance. You just weren't feeling the best, as we now know for all the reasons you talked about. To put a woman in her 30s and 40s on the birth control pill, which totally shuts off, well, first of all, it's made up of 2 known carcinogenic ingredients, progestins and estrogens, and then it just shuts off your ovaries, and I can tell you it has 120 risks and side effects associated with taking that drug. How is that ever going to get you back into health and balance? Something seriously wrong with this picture, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and you're right on, because as I started to dig into it and learn to read lab work, which is what I did, I realized that my thyroid was actually not healthy. So clinically it was fine, but it was, she actually only checked my TSH, and I think it was at a 4.5, and now it's gone back to very, very normal. It's below 2, I think, the last I checked. So it keeps going down, essentially. And so it was not healthy. It was not in a healthy range, but clinically it was fine. So, absolutely.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because there's an epidemic of thyroid issues going on right now. And it affects men, but definitely women for a variety of reasons. And the thing is, the main way that they test, and you go to your blood work and they get this thyroid-stimulating hormone, TSH, is it's like saying to someone, okay, I want to buy a car. And they go, okay, let's get a car. But it's like, but you haven't said what kind of car, what year you want, what color. It's not enough information, right? You, that's where you have to do deeper work, because if you have a thyroid imbalance, you want to know why. That's not normal. And you don't want to just take a thyroid hormone, that's the prescribed drug, like thyroxine, which does nothing to stimulate the real active part of the thyroid. You have to dig deeper to see if you have a deficiency of iodine, selenium, to see if you have autoimmune disease, if you have, you know, if you're, there's inflammation going on, your antibodies are up, right? I mean, so
yes.
To just say you have a thyroid problem and say we'll fix it with putting you on the thyroid med, which does not ever turn into the active part of the thyroid hormone anyway, again, is never going to bring a person back to their health and well-being.
Absolutely. And I've seen it in practice, and I'm sure you have as well, right? The woman who's been on the Synthroid for, you know, umpteen years, and all of her symptoms are still there. She's still feeling terrible. Her hair is falling out. She's constipated, right? All the symptoms are there, but her TSH levels are fine. So she seems to be doing fine according to the medical world, but she's not. She's really suffering. She's struggling, and they're telling her to eat less and exercise more because she's gaining weight. She must be the problem, and it's not. That's not the case at all. And it's very reversible and addressable if you do the right things, which, you know, you've pointed to. It's unfortunate, really, what's happening with women's health.
Yes, it is. And that's why these conversations are so important, Laura, because if we don't have these kinds of conversations, where are women going to have more knowledge, right? Because they're not going to get it from the doctors. They're not.
Right.
And they'll just get more medicated. And okay, let's go back to another thing you pointed out, because you said such juicy bits here, Laura, of your journey, that I really want to talk about because they're so important.
Sure.
The role of protein. You know, I did an interview at one of my podcasts. It was a couple of years ago. I should bring them back on. And it was all about the importance of protein. It was, wow, what a mind-blowing interview that was for me, you know, because I've gone through my vegetarian phase of life, and I got really ill as a result of being a very uneducated vegetarian, not doing what my body needed. And, you know, we're trending now. The vegetarian trend is going on. The vegan trend is going on. All these people trying to do the right thing, trying to eat in a healthy way, you know, in a responsible way. But there's so much, unfortunately, misinformation or lack of information about what creates a healthy body. And when Dr. Minton was reminding me, but you have to understand, protein creates your hormones. Protein creates your enzymes. Protein creates your DNA. Protein creates your neurotransmitters. It's not just about your muscles, right?
Yeah,
and if we don't have adequate protein, our body can't function.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and mine was not functioning because I didn't. I mean, I didn't like to eat meat ever since I was a kid. It was just not my thing. So veganism was actually really easy for me. I thought, oh, I could totally do this. I don't really like eggs, and so I wasn't quite vegan, but I was really trending there. So, and it was taking real toll on my body. Everything deteriorated. I mean, even my lab work, even though the doctor was, you know, like, oh, everything looks normal, my cholesterol was actually going up. There was more inflammation in my body. Blood sugar levels. So my A1C was still under 6, but it was like, you know, consistently 5 when I was eating better. And then it was starting, I think it had gone up to 5.5. And I thought, wow, what in the world is happening? So you know, even the lab work that she ran was not healthy, you know, it's a trend anyway. It was still within range. But yes, protein is absolutely important. And when I, you know, get my clients to start to eat it and do this, you know, 3 square meals, and just listen, right? I mean, you might need more, you might need less, but listen to how your body responds. It's unbelievable what happens. Cravings go away, sleep improves, they have more energy, the afternoon slump magically disappears. It's just, it seems magical what protein does. Eventually, their hair and their nails and their skin glows and they start to feel, you know, to look better and more vibrant. Immediately, the first thing that happens is that energy comes back and cravings diminish. Across the board, I haven't seen one person that doesn't happen. You know, I've had people come in and they're like, oh, I have a real sweet tooth. There's no way I'll be able, you know, to not have that afternoon snack. Like, my body needs it. I'm like, no problem, you know, have it, except start the morning with a protein-rich breakfast and let's see what happens. 9 out of 10 times, they're like, I'm not craving that anymore. I don't even think about it. Well, blood sugar is now balanced. So you don't need it because your, you know, your brain doesn't have that dip, that crash, and, you know, causes these cravings in the afternoon or evening or whatever. So it's very, 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 very important. And plant-based, you know, I don't think it's long-term sustainable. You know, there's no culture that doesn't have any plant foods. There's no culture. There's no indigenous culture that's just fully, fully plant-based. So I don't believe it's the right thing for our bodies.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I see that all the time. And it's like so many of our choices are based on the latest fad, the latest theory,
yeah.
But unfortunately, it's not based on the you know, real nutrition and real understanding of our body needs. And, you know, I learned that many years ago when I was still in my vegetarian phase and I was studying traditional Chinese medicine. And one of the things that I learned is that food is medicine and you need to listen to the body and give it what it needs. Depending on how the symptoms or issues are showing up, depending on the season. And there was one woman, I remember this, she was in the course and she had just been traveling in India where she was doing all the vegetarian diet. She lost her menstrual cycle. She just was feeling so so tired and fatigued all the time. And the teacher said, you know, you need more red meat, you know, which at first was a bit of a shock. But when she did that, her whole life force came back. Her menstrual cycle, she returned, right, back into total health. So it was a very profound observation on my part, and that's when I really had to reevaluate what was my body saying? What does it need? It's not a head trip. You have to learn to, I guess the message is you have to get back in touch with your, with nature, with your body, and you have to listen and not operate out of laws and rules and regulations and do's and don'ts. Listen.
Absolutely.
And be willing.
Yes.
The response. So, and the other thing you said was you add more fats into your diet, which is another important, critical nutrient for our health and vitality and longevity and our hormones. We need good, healthy fats. Cell membrane fats, right?
Absolutely. Yes. And we need some of the things that they've taken away from us. So butter. So I loved butter, but I didn't eat very much of it. So I brought it back. Lots of eggs. I'm very conscious of the food that we eat. So not all food is good, right? Not all, even whole foods, because it depends on how it's processed. So I found, I find local farms and I shop there and I research my food. So it's really nice to get back into touch with real food and looking to see how things are grown. So You know, I buy a lot of things from farms as much as I possibly can. And I live in the city, right? So it's very possible and accessible if you just take the time and look for it. So, yes, eggs, and I brought meat back. I tried to cook with tallow for a little bit, but I don't love it. And but, you know, olives and avocados, of course, and nuts and seeds. So, yes, an array of good fats. And I tell you, when I did that, the eczema actually disappeared. It cleared almost overnight. And I thought, okay, there's something to this.
what a revelation.
Quite remarkable. Without cutting out things, you know, without cutting things out, I was eating whatever my body was directing me towards, and my body loves fat. And so I included as much as I was able to, you know, stomach. And I really just listened to my body and my intuition and allowed that to guide me. But the protein was, I was very conscious of how much I was eating. I was trying to hit a measurement because it really was making me feel so much better and more balanced.
And one of the things that I learned when I was interviewing Dr. Minkoff, we're talking about the importance of protein. It was what he brought in was the option to use essential amino acids. So, you know, protein is only utilized when it's broken down in its component parts called amino acids. And there are certain amino acids that the body needs to get from food externally. And these are called the essential amino acids. And that was really useful for me because it was a way to ensure that I would get these basic building blocks of protein when I wasn't always eating a lot of protein foods, or I couldn't eat a lot of protein foods, or if you, you know, as you're getting older, the big challenge is what they call, you know, sarcopenia, right? It's the loss of muscle mass. That's a natural part of aging if you are protein deficient. Part of that is being protein deficient. And then not working to build the muscle. So that's been a really big part of my program now is to work with, take these amino acids and do weight training, resistance training to maintain muscle mass. It's a key feature of rejuvenation. The more you lose your muscle mass, the more you are actually aging. So that was when protein really, really took a big role in my life. But it, you don't always have to eat the steaks. You don't have to have, you know, you don't have to have large amounts of protein. There are many ways you can get high quality protein, but you've got to get the essential amino acids into your diet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually a great point.
You know, especially if people have some digestive issues and they may not be able to break down and absorb. It's just an avenue, but. I mean, the point we're making is protein is essential. You have to have adequate protein or your body cannot repair and regenerate and function.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really an essential part. And, you know, just give it a try and see how your body responds.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about
an experiment, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, and the other thing I have to say, I'm really happy you talked about in your journey was the role of circadian rhythms. I recently replayed two parts, part one, part two of interviews I did with Dr. Jack Cruz. You might have come across him in your study of circadian rhythm, right? Have you come across Dr. Jack Cruz?
I have.
Dr. Jack Cruz is. Yes, he's such a character, you know, this neurosurgeon who was the top of his profession and he was obese and miserable and, you know, and unhappy in his life and discovered keys to not only the weight transforming his body, losing the weight, getting the inflammation out of his body, but actually a revelation of connecting with his true spiritual self, and that was through understanding the role of circadian rhythm, the role of observing and watching the sunrise. I'm very blessed, Laura. I live where I can watch the sunrise from my balcony throughout the entire year.
Oh, wow.
And
that is a blessing. That's amazing.
It is. It is.
Wow.
And that was
that's
a very
beautiful.
Strong intention where I want. And even if I want to sleep in, I can't. And, you know, there are sometimes in the summer that, you know, sunrise comes up at 4:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there. You know, I hardly ever miss the sunrise. Because I know you are setting these circadian rhythms, these biological clocks, in proper harmony. So do you want to talk a bit about what you discovered with that?
Sure. I have a question for you, though. So did you find that your sleep improved as a result?
Oh, absolutely. I think everything
right.
improved as a result. I think my sleep
mm-hmm.
improved, my state of mind improved, my energy improved. And having delved into this and learning about it after encountering the work of Dr. Cruz, to me, it's foundational for health. We cannot thrive indoors under LED lights and blue lights. The physical body was never designed to exist in that energy, that frequency. And that's what made so much sense to me. So, yes, getting outside as much as we can. I go barefoot. I mean, you live in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I live on the Sunshine Coast in Australia. I have summer all year round, more or less. I have the beach 5 minutes from me. I can live this life, right? I can go
right.
barefoot.
Yeah.
I can put my feet in the ocean. I can sit and watch the sun in beautiful weather all year round. Right,
yes.
And it's not always easy when you're in Toronto to do that.
No,
I get that.
It's not.
But that's where
you
have the red light therapy, right?
Absolutely.
You find other ways.
Yeah. You do. You do, and you have to. You have to. Especially after 40, our bodies do change. The stress load on the body changes as we get older, so our body is changing. We need to be I do more now to maintain my health than I did in my 20s, and I just have to, you know. Like I see my kids. I have a 16-year-old almost 18 and a 15-year-old, and their bodies are more forgiving. You know, they can stay
totally.
Up later and they'll be fine the next day. It's just they're in a different, their bodies are different. So I can't do that. There are certain things. So I'll have to do more. and we just have to do more. That's a kind of like wrapping your head around it. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to take those supplements. So, you know, it's just too much and it's just too much work. Well, you know, what's the alternative? So, if you want to feel great and amazing and young and age backwards, I feel younger and people that I haven't seen in a long time, they tell me that I look younger today than I did earlier on in my life. Even looking at pictures, I could see that, you know, my frown line has actually improved. I haven't done anything except take care of my internal health. So really all connected. So yes, circadian rhythm. It's setting, so making sure that, so cortisol and melatonin, really balancing them out. So there's a rhythm to the day. So cortisol is highest in the morning and melatonin rises in the evening. And sometimes that's switched around. So if you can't sleep at night, if you wake up in the middle of the night and can't fall back asleep, that's an indication that your circadian rhythm is, gone into haywire. So cortisol is rising essentially when it shouldn't. And of course that connects to all your other hormones. So all of our hormones are interconnected, whether it be our hunger and fullness hormones, to our progesterone and estrogen and testosterone, to our insulin. They're all interconnected, to our thyroid hormones. So making sure, so setting that circadian rhythm, so making sure that cortisol rises when it should and does not spike in the middle of the night when it shouldn't, and melatonin rises when it should, is really, really important for our overall health. And the things that disrupt that are too much exposure to blue light, right? Being in front of your computer all day, looking at your phone first thing in, last thing at night, being indoors all day, not getting enough nature. So that just, you know, just the light exposure will ruin your circadian rhythm. Being a fight and flight state all the time, you know, worrying, living in your head, living out of alignment with your core values, doing a job that you hate and being in a relationship that's just not good for you. These are all stressors will cause your cortisol levels to just, you know, go haywire. We're not meant to live in these states all the time. So it's just a really important thing to regulate things. So some of the things that I talked about earlier were, you know, making sure that just leave your phone off. For the first hour at least of my day, I'm not looking at my phone. I'm not looking at my computer. It would be amazing if the first thing that you do is go outside. So even if it's still a little bit, it's not light out, even just getting exposure to that light, whatever it is really important to setting your circadian rhythm. So telling your body that it's morning, because in the morning, red light is emitted from the sun, and same with sunset, so it's that red hue that tells our body, as our eyes are exposed to it, that it's morning, and cortisol wake up and spike, as you should. And that really, just exposure in the morning actually helps you sleep better at night, because melatonin is released as your eyes get the message in the morning that it's sunlight. Now, if you don't have access to that, that's where red light therapy comes in. So getting a red light machine, you know, I'm here in Toronto. I bought one for about $400. So when there is no sunlight, sometimes in the year, you know, February, March, I sit with my red light in the morning. That's the first thing that I look at, and it makes me feel amazing. I feel like I'm sitting in front of the sun. It's calming. Anytime I feel dysregulated, actually, I crack it out and I just sit in front of it and, you know, kind of meditate or pray, and it just feels so much better. It's so grounding. Where I can, yes, I get outdoors. That's one of the first things I do. I have a little rhythm in the morning where I'm just walking barefoot on grass. I'm looking towards the sun, and it's just a glorious morning. But in the winter months, that's not possible. And there's grounding mats and other things that you can do. But really, I find the red light therapy and staying off the phone a really, really important part of, you know, a morning rhythm. Yeah, I could say a lot more. But.
Well, you know, what's important, I mean, what you're sharing and on this journey that you've been on and that I've been on as well, is we keep discovering more of the pieces of the puzzle, as I like to say. And one of the things that we need to realize is that our body is in constant change. The nature is everything. Plants are in constant stage of their growth. We're in constant change. So you can't expect the body to function when you're 40 as it is. And you can't expect the body to function and be as efficient when you're 60 as when you were 40. So we need to get this knowledge and education so we can address and moderate and find the needs of the body, not only in the stage of our own life, but what's happening in that stage of life. So, you know, you were under immense stress when you arrived at that 40 year mark, more or less. You know, you were it was the sum total. It was the culmination of all the stress you've been through in your life with your job and putting your private business together and trying to raise kids and, you know, and your own, you know, our own craziness that we bring into the mix. And then the choices you were making, when your lifestyle and your diet, everything came together at a breaking point, all right? The body just could not sustain functioning because there were too many things accumulating that were not being addressed. And that was the wake-up call.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. But the important part is that to listen, right? It's some of us have learned to ignore it and accept illnesses or things as just their age. This is going to happen. I think that's one of the things. Like, yes, we're going to age and things are going to change, but we should feel pretty good, right? Doing the things that we're doing, especially if you're trying.
Let me just emphasize that. We're designed to feel really good throughout all stages of our life. We were innately created to feel good through all stages of our life. If we have this ability that, you know, you're sharing, to listen, to be flexible, to adjust, to learn, to support the body with what it needs. You know, to be honest, you know, I'm healthier now at this stage of my life than I was when I was 40. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know when you're healthy? Well, part of it is when you're sleeping well, when you're not in depression, when you don't have aches and pains in your joints. When you have vitality. I mean, that's vitality. That's life. You can have that through all stages of this life experience if you are willing to do the work, basically, to learn and to evolve our understanding and not operate with belief systems that our culture feeds us, that aging is a downhill slide, menopause is the beginning of the end, right, and everything just, you know, deteriorates from there. These are programs put into our head that do not exist as reality, the real reality.
Yeah, that's so well said. Absolutely true. Yeah, I feel better now at 47 than I did at 37 and even 27. My body looks and feels better.
And good for you, Laura. You know, that's where you're an example of everything you're teaching, right? It's like, yes, you can feel better. You can get healthier at 40 than you were at 20. You can get healthier at 50 than you were in 30. You can get healthier at 70 than you did when you were 50. You can, all that, the body has this resilience and this capacity to renew. You just have to make the adjustment. And it could be physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, or all the above. We have to, you know, we're in constant flux. We have to listen. And, you know, the other thing I wanted to say when you want to do a conversation, get all the way back to the start with saying, well, you know, it's just perimenopause. You know, I've written about perimenopause, but on here, you know, the thing I say this, there is no such thing as perimenopause today. It's just what degree you are out of touch with your body. When your body is going through these stages of transition, how unhealthy are you? How stressed are you? And all this stuff, like, you know, the burden that starts to, you know, show up. Because if we were healthy, we wouldn't have the problem symptoms. And if we were healthy, we would sail through that pause with no big deal. But if we were not, that's the degree these symptoms and discomfort show up. And then we can blame it on this is like, it's inevitable, this stage of being a woman. It isn't.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I couldn't hear that last end. You were cutting in and out.
Oh, gosh, okay. I hope everyone else listening could. Look, I was just saying that to summarize, we name things like perimenopause. We name things like menopause as these states that are going to be accompanied with discomfort and decline and, you know, the whole picture we have.
Right.
And what I'm saying is, if we take care of ourselves, we will sail through these stages of change that are inevitable as we go through life without suffering, without pain.
Yes. Yes, 100%. Yes. I mean, you know, the cycle is going to end, you know, your periods will end, but my cycles are changing, but I feel amazing. You know, it's, you can, like, you should feel good. The change will happen, your cycles will change, at some point it will end, but you should still feel really good in your body. You know, hot flashes are not normal. All of these things that we've accepted as normal are actually not. They're just signs that your body needs support. And once you support the body, all of the symptoms go away.
Absolutely. You know, that's such a huge message, right? Because
yes.
Everything in our culture, you know, people are watching television. I don't have a television. I haven't had one for 12 years, but I know they're not. It's about 10 minutes commercial. And a lot of it is for the aging or the medical women or to the arthritis drug or to this incontinence thing or to, you know, eye medicate. You know what I mean? It's like this constant bombardment of what we are brainwashed into believing is the inevitable as we go through this life. And you know, I know your message and my message is you can help you again if you get older. That's what I mean. But you have to be open to learn. You can't do communications by the way, right?
Right. No, absolutely. There's no magic pill. You have to make changes to your lifestyle and what you eat and how you think and what you do. There's things that need to change, and ultimately it finds its balance if you're willing and open to learn and change.
Yes, that's your life. That's my experience. Be open to it, willing to change. You know, just listen to your body and take care. So prior to the end of the show, I want you to share with my audience your program and what you're offering. Those people know more about the kinds of opportunities they have to learn with you.
Sure. So right now I work with clients on one-on-one. I have a program, a six-month program, that really I take you through diet, lifestyle. There's, you know, I have kind of three pillars that I work on, which is to master your metabolism, where we learn to eat and balance, you know, what you're eating and eat for your body, because everyone's body is a little bit different. So we have to listen and understand what your body needs. So it's running blood work and hair tissue tests, et cetera, to get a, you know, full picture of what's going on. So balancing, mastering your metabolism, mastering your hormones, and then mastering your intuition. So this is the piece that I actually love, because it's, you know, healing your relationship with food, living in alignment with your values, and really delving in and being honest with yourself. Yeah, so it's that's how I work, and they can reach me through my website, essentially.
So, and your website is nutritionherway.com, correct?
That's right, nutritionherway.com.
So, you know, it sounds like a wonderful program, Laura. You know, you're bringing in all the key facets of what it requires to your health back to get in balance again. Not just your physical health, but also your emotional well-being. And if we don't restore the joy and vitality and place of peace within us, our body can't heal anyway, because any of those other emotions are just generating the stress response. So, but it's all connected. The more balanced our body gets, the more at peace we are, the happier we are. So, thank you for sharing your journey and wonderful program. I encourage people to go check out Laura's site, Nutrition Her Way. Get more education. Continue to be curious to also eliminate those limiting negative thoughts in your life that tells you, you know, menopause is tough, you know, your body's out of control and you don't know what to do with it, and it's all about your hormones, and you know, mm-hmm. and you feel helpless and angry at being a woman. So, okay, so we have about a minute. Do you want to have just one last thought to wrap things up with, Laura?
Sure. I would say, you know, I think the most important thing is to just not give up on your health and yourself, because everything could be addressed. I've helped women and men past 80, and it's never, ever, ever too late to take care of yourself. And I think you deserve to be put on the map. You know, I have a lot of women that they would invest the time and the finances for their family, their loved ones, their kids, but they won't on themselves. So I think, you know, instead of like what I like to think of, you know, our 40s and 50s and beyond is, you know, we think of it as midlife. I like to look at it as the high life, you know, kind of like what you said in the beginning, that, you know, it's a really, if you're willing to be open and change, it's actually an amazing period of your life, because you don't care about some of the things that you cared about, you know, when you were in your 20s and 30s even. So yeah, really, really explore what you want, question the things that you're told are normal, and take the time to invest in yourself and in your health, whether it's just, you know, reading a book or, you know, adding more protein or taking walks, whatever it is. Take the time to take care of yourself. You're so, so deserve it. And your body will respond. And it's never, ever, ever too late. No matter what's happening in your life, it's never too late.
Yes, those are great, wise words. And thank you, Laura, for the great work you're doing and for being on the show. And, again, check out Laura's website at nutritionherway.com. You've been listening to Laura Frangian, and this is Dr. Cheryl Selman on What Women Must Know. I trust you'll be joining me every week. And until next week, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.